Dear friends in Christ, grace and peace to you from God who brings life and freedom. Amen. A few months ago, my 2.5-year-old son, Bernie, told me a story. It was, to the best of my knowledge, the first story he had ever told. And oh, was it a story he couldn't wait to tell me. It went something like this. Bus, a bus, a bus, a wea, owie. Please, please, a wea, a bus. I'll translate, although you with young children probably know sort of what the story is about. Bernie and my husband Kurt took the bus to run an errand. After they were done, while they were waiting at the bus stop, an ambulance, a wea, came cruising up Snelling Avenue with its sirens blaring. Turns out there was a man sitting near the bus stop who was having some sort of medical emergency. Owie. Shortly after the ambulance arrived, a police car responded as well. Police, also with its sirens blaring. Awea. Then the bus arrived, bus, and Bernie and Kurt hopped on it and came home. We make sense of our experience in the world through sharing our stories with others. And our stories are powerful. They have the ability to build connection, to bring hope and healing, to give witness to God's presence in the world. The stories we can't stop telling are often stories of resurrection, stories when something bad turns out good, stories of overcoming obstacles and discovering life on the other side, stories of transformation after coming face to face with our common humanity. These stories often contain an element of surprise or laughter, anchoring us in the hope we know through Christ, hope that coexists with sorrow or challenge or difficulty, hope that gives us faith to move forth with good courage, to keep on keeping on, as they say. Peter and John also have a story to tell, a story they have witnessed with their own eyes and ears, a story of Jesus' death and resurrection, and they cannot keep from speaking about what they have seen and heard. Just before our reading today in Acts, Peter and John meet a man in need of healing, a man who for his entire life has sat at the temple asking for alms, unable to work or make a living because of a disability. Peter and John approach him, look him in the eye, and Peter says, "I have no silver or gold, but what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." Immediately, the man stands and walks, praising God for this miracle, and the people who witness it are filled with wonder and amazement. Peter and John continue to teach and proclaim this message of good news until, as we heard in our reading this morning, they are arrested, because, as Luke tells us, the priests, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees were annoyed by their sermon topic. That is, Jesus' resurrection from the dead. It's not unusual for people in power to question those with new ideas, whose message disrupts and interrupts, disturbs and perturbs as it still finds a way into the hearts and minds of the community. For despite Peter and John's imprisonment, this community of believers grows and grows and grows. This good news can't be contained or restrained, and this story of Christ's resurrection from the dead will not go untold, and it will not go unheard. During their imprisonment, the authorities question Peter and John, these two ordinary human beings who are up against the rulers and elders and priestly types. It's ironic, really, for they're being treated as criminals. And as scholar Will Willimon wonders, what is their crime? A good deed done to someone in need of healing? It doesn't seem like a fair trial, and it didn't seem fair for Jesus either. Filled with the Holy Spirit, Peter continues to tell this same story, to preach the gospel message. "Let it be known to all of you," Peter says, "and to all the people of Israel, that this man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders. It has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved." After this speech, Luke writes that the council recognizes Peter and John as companions of Jesus, and they see the man standing there who has been healed in the name of Jesus, and they realize what they're up against: the power of God. They can do nothing else but order these men to remain silent. But Peter and John won't have it. They've been filled with the Holy Spirit, after all, and this gift is powerful. The Spirit can't be contained or restrained. As Peter explains to them, "We cannot keep from speaking about what we have seen and heard." And so the council releases them, and the people gathered continue to praise God for this miraculous sign of healing that has taken place. This isn't the last time in the book of Acts that the apostles will face opposition and challenge, but I'm struck here by the power the Spirit gives these two ordinary men, power to witness to God's abundant and transformative love in their own lives and in the lives of people in their community. The Spirit frees them of their anxieties and fear and invites them to share their experience of God's presence in their lives, to proclaim the story of Jesus' death and resurrection, and to gather together with others around this common hope and promise. We too have a story to tell, many stories, in fact. For our lives bear witness to Christ's redeeming love. Our lives are vessels for God's work in the world. For God is present in the fullness of our lived experiences in the world, bringing freedom and new life. What have you seen and heard in your own life? What story is begging to be told? What song is breaking forth? What sorrow has been healed or heard or held? What surprise has brought laughter and joy? Peter reminds us today that we cannot keep from speaking about what we have seen and heard. So open your eyes and your ears. Speak, share, listen. Tell your story and invite others to do the same. For in sharing these stories, we are drawn more deeply into God's resurrection promise and knit together in the collective witness of the communion of saints. And for that gift, we give thanks to God. Amen.